Sheridan County Cattlewomen and Sheridan County Chamber Ag and Natural Resource Committee for putting on the dinner for us.
We thank all our buyers and appreciate your time and donation to help us with our projects.
This year we want to give back to you. We'll have door prizes throughout the night for our generous supporters.
We thank you again for your time and donation to Sheridan County 4-H and FFA.
Mandy Kolciska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. 5-year-old Ammo is a pit bull terrier ready to take a shot with you. All you have to do is throw the ball a couple thousand times and he'll be your perfect pooch. 11-month-old Duke and Nichols love to spend their days snuggled up and playing together. They're each other's best company and they'll be yours as well. Come and meet these playful pals today.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, July 23rd. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Chad Baldwin. Good morning, Chad. Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Good morning, Floyd. It's good to be with you, so to speak.
as someone who's been down in Laramie for a number of years, is the weather a little odd this year, or what's it like down there?
Yeah, I think, Floyd, from my perspective, it's just a regular, gorgeous Laramie summer. Maybe there's been some, I don't know, a few things a little different, but not really. I think it's just been great. You know, rarely does it get above even, I mean, it gets in the 80s here, but hardly ever over 90 degrees. And it's just, you know, it's just wonderful.
It's just beautiful outside. How's the wind?
Yeah. You know, we have some here and there, but you can tolerate a bit of a breeze this time of year. And so, yeah, it hasn't been bad.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. Up here, it just feels like it's been a little humid when you walk outside, which is odd for Wyoming, kind of as an entire state. It's just been a very damp feeling summer, although we have had our hot days. Now, something I wanted to talk to you about. You brought this to me. Incredibly interesting stuff. Dr. and correct me if I'm saying this name wrong, Ankit Saxena is a medical engineering professor at the University of Wyoming, and he has received nearly $200,000 from the National Science Foundation to develop new ways to protect nuclear power plants from earthquakes. And here's the fascinating part. Through the use of a technology called particle dampers. Chad, I was reading through this story. This really seems to be some next level stuff. What is a particle damper?
Yeah, so it's a vibration damping technology, and it consists of a cavity with entrapped particles. And then when you get some sort of, like, say, an earthquake, these trapped particles start colliding with each other in this cavity, and that dissipates the vibrational energy. So it's a way to sort of blunt the seismic waves through particles, entrapped particles running into each other. I think I can visual. I mean, you know, you can kind of visualize it a little bit, you know, it's dissipating this energy with all these little particles running into each other. It is pretty fascinating. Faculty member is in mechanical engineering, has a whole lab kind of focused on this sort of thing.
It's absolutely incredible to think that something at the particle level could be an answer, maybe not an overall answer, but a theoretical answer to something as big as an earthquake. It just kind of fascinates me.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, you'd have to, and you know, the thing that's interesting. So you know, this is focused, of course, on nuclear energy, which you can understand the importance of nuclear facilities being protected from earthquakes, as we saw in Japan a number of years ago, right, mm-hmm. where that they had a big problem there. But there's going to be other applications for this as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, with this technology, he's going through with this, going to see if this is something that we can actually do, or he kind of got these set in place, and now we're just going to see the application of it.
No, Floyd, my understanding is that this is largely about proving up the technology, and then the commercial application is what follows later. We have a whole office here at UW that is devoted to taking, you know, this sort of research and helping it become commercially successful. But right now, I think he's at the stage here of just kind of, you know, the federal government's funding him to do this, to prove out the technology so that it's ready to be used when at the appropriate time.
This just seems like really next level stuff to me. The use of particles to dampen earthquakes and protect nuclear power plants. Now, moving on from the grant, from the actual particle dampener, this grant supports not just the research, but also student involvement and some outreach. You and I have talked about this a few different times on this show, because I really, and I'm sure other university, we're not doing anything completely different, but taking our students and having them get involved in these groundbreaking technologies, why is this important to UW's overall mission?
Sure. Floyd, hands-on learning is really, really important in all fields, and to prepare you for a career, right? And we've talked about it quite a lot before, but it's true that the University of Wyoming, because of our size and the world-class caliber of our faculty, as an undergraduate, you're going to get opportunities to do things that maybe you'd only get to do as a graduate student somewhere else. So this particular grant, specifically, is going to support two undergraduate research students. So two students from mechanical engineering and also a PhD student will work with this professor to do this research. An incredible opportunity for an undergraduate to come in and be able to do that. In addition to that, there's outreach where he'll be doing lectures at the local high school to develop awareness about nuclear energy and doing some other outreach as well. It's a great opportunity, and it happens in a whole bunch of different fields here at UW.
And it's absolutely amazing. Now, he's out of Summit Lab, correct?
Yeah, that's the name of his lab here at UW. Yes, it's a big, long name that's an acronym. So
right, yeah.
It's the Structures and Unique Multifunctional Materials Innovation and Technology. That's what Summit stands for. And that's what his laboratory, the kind of research he does.
And it's the research coming out of there. I mean, I just want people to try and encompass the idea of this. The use of particles to dampen the effects of earthquakes. I mean, this is kind of mind-blowing to me. Why is the Cowboy State such a fantastic place for this kind of innovation to take place?
Well, so first of all, we know that nuclear energy is going to be a big part of our economic future, Floyd, and so that's maybe the key part here. But there, as we talked about before, there are applications in other fields as well, and like in robotics and like civil engineering, when you're building structures, you know, to protect them from earthquakes. And there's an aerospace component. There's automotive potential here. You know, part of our mission as a land-grant university, Floyd, in addition to, of course, supporting our key industries in the state, which are, of course, energy, agriculture, tourism. Those are the big three. is to do some things to try to innovate within those areas, but then also maybe create some other areas of a potential. And so that's what this is about. It fits right in with the long-term goals of the state and the university to be able to do this kind of work.
And Chad, you know, it seems like almost every time you and I talk anymore, there's an amazing project or a groundbreaking technology that's being looked at, studied, researched, and even applied down there at the University of Wyoming. And why is it so valuable for high school students across our state to hear about this kind of research from individuals like Dr. Saxena?
But I think we all growing up in Wyoming, because we know, and I grew up in this state, we kind of have this idea that, well, because we're so the least populated state in the nation, that, you know, maybe we just, there's something like wrong with us or something.
Like,
you know?
We can't compete, and that, right?
And that just couldn't be further from the truth. We do have a world-class university thanks to the support of our legislature and elected officials and donors and industry and others. And you know, you can come here, and if you want to stay in the state, which we really encourage, of course, you can get the skills to do things to maybe start your own business in Wyoming, or, you know, get a really good job in a professional field or any of those others we just discussed. Then also you can go on and compete with anybody in the world, and we have story after story of our alumni who go on and are doing tremendous things internationally, as well as, you know, we kind of like to say it gives you an unfair advantage because you're gonna have those sorts of one-on-one opportunities here,
yeah,
that you just can't get anywhere else.
Absolutely, and like you said, you know, being a part, being an undergraduate, and a part of this groundbreaking technological research is a very, very rare thing in other states. And I just, as I said, groundbreaking stuff, the use of particles to help dampen, you know, the effects of earthquakes. And this can be applied, as you said, in other industries, but even just what he wants to apply it for, to help protect these massive nuclear power plants and make sure that they're protected first. That in itself, there's a lot of power plants on this earth, and there's a few, as you pointed out, the one in Japan, that exist on these fault lines or near them enough that they could be a risk. And to have something that was developed right here in Wyoming, you know, kind of go out to all of these places to protect them is amazing to me. Before I babble on too long, I'm going to switch gears on you, because for those who may not know, there has been considerable construction occurring at War Memorial Stadium for a number of years. Chad, can you give us a quick rundown of how UW has been restoring the war?
You bet, Floyd. Yeah, so we have this real gem of a facility here in Laramie where our football team plays at the highest level of Division I football in the country. And we like to get big shot teams come in here, and we like to beat them. And having that great environment, it's just on a fall at War Memorial Stadium, I don't think there's a better place to be in the whole world. And so, but, you know, we're college athletics, very competitive. Our stadium is relatively old. I mean, I think it's, you know, the original was 1950, and then they've added on to it in the 70s to get to our capacity. But it's a whole very competitive world out there right now. I think it's been more than a decade ago we opened our what we call the Wildcatter Suites on the east side of the stadium. Now on the west side is where the improvements have been. So last year we opened our new better seating arrangement on the west side, better seats, basically. No more, not just bleachers anymore. And now the new component is what we call our loge seating. That's L-O-G-E, which is kind of, I would say, a combination of you're outdoor seating, but it's more of a suite kind of feel to it. So there's about 260 of these seats now that will be open and running this fall. I think, as I understand it, this was as of a couple weeks ago, there were only 50 that hadn't already been sold. And so in addition then, back behind the slouch seating, which is halfway up, it's between the upper deck and the upper part of the lower deck, if you go behind there, there's a whole big event area where they'll have food and drink for during the game and other events, like private events at other times. And there's even some private kind of suite sort of things back there to have events in. So it's basically they've carved out and created a whole new part of the stadium for to make the fan experience even better and give some more options, you know, for people to be able to take in the Pokes.
And
so that project is nearing completion. The other component that will be done this fall is a new press box, which is also on the west side.
I was actually going to ask you if they gave you a new press box or not.
Yep,
that's good to hear.
Yep, it's almost done. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's you know, and we got the big scoreboard, you know, with the video to play and improved sound system. And so it's a major step forward, and it's a big project. Boy, it's about $85 million.
Wow.
We're competing with the big boys, and this takes us up to be able to do that.
Now, I was reading within an article that donors, some university leaders, and our own state government actually contributed to these renovations, helping to make these possible. And in a way, they did this to keep War Memorial Stadium, War Memorial Stadium, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, we could potentially like sell the rights to the name of the stadium. And our athletics director, Tom Berman, has talked about, no, War Memorial Stadium, there are not many of those in the country left. And our proud military history in our state, we'd like to keep that name and keep the feel of the place and have it continue to be a premier venue for our football program.
And it's only through individuals that are helping to contribute to these renovations and these projects that are keeping this from going commercial, which I absolutely appreciate, especially as a veteran. I love to know that War Memorial Stadium belongs to us right here in the Cowboy State. I've got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our University of Wyoming right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
Hi, this is Becton Sillers with the Lucky 7 4-H Club. The Sheridan County 4-H and FFA youth have worked hard throughout the year on our projects. We invite you to come to the fair and the livestock sale on August 4th at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds at 5 p.m. Can't make it to the fair or sale? You can still stream them live on SheridanMedia.com. Processing dates are already reserved, so get your locally sourced meat at the Sheridan County Fair Livestock Sale.
At Sheridan Media, excellence is our standard, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters agree. We're thrilled to announce a sweep of recent awards, including Tommy and Bell for Best Radio Show, Kevin Coyle for Best News Reporter, and Aaron Linden for Best Station Promo. We also took first place for best photography and second place for best online video. Our Active Reload podcast, best sports reporting, and play-by-play with Aaron Legaki. Steve Sisson won for his 90s at 9. We're especially proud that KWYO was selected Station of the Year and Julie Chadwick for Account Executive of the Year. Experience the best local media in Wyoming. Experience Sherida Media.
Welcome back, Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. With us this morning, University of Wyoming Director of Institutional Communications, Mr. Chad Baldwin. The University of Wyoming is undertaking its largest construction project in history. This is a $285.5 million initiative, building two new residence halls and a state-of-the-art dining facility. Chad, I got a chance to drive around a little bit, peek in. I didn't get too much of a look. I was in a bit of a hurry, but I did want to look at these. You and I talk about it every time we've been speaking since really ground was broke. These new residence halls. What are a few of the standout features that you believe will significantly enhance student living there at University of Wyoming?
You bet. So, Floyd, the rooms are very nice, and there are options. There, it's not just like you've got two people in a room and then a big common bathroom. There are more options. So, you know, you got two people with a bathroom or four people with a one bathroom. Anyway, there's a more diverse set of housing options. But I think that the real spectacular part of this project is the common areas, which includes the new dining facility. So great, big, spacious, beautiful areas for students to hang out and socialize. And of course, this is also very close, right, within walking distance to the student union, to the half acre recreation center. And so the student life aspect, which is so important of a university experience, is really going to be dramatically enhanced, and students won't have to be traipsing across 15th Street. It'll be closer to their classes, closer to the union, as I mentioned, very close to the library, and so it's a real improvement for student life. And in terms of the look exterior and how it fits in with campus, I would say it's really spectacular. These are grand structures that have that great sandstone, and the architecture is. This is an academic sort of feel to it all, I'd say those are just some of the things that come to mind, Floyd. And we're almost done. I mean, the students will start moving into this North Hall in just a couple weeks. I guess maybe closer to 3 weeks. And then the South Hall, the students will be in there between semesters. So this project's almost done, and it really is cool.
And how do you think these new dorms and this dining facility are going to impact some student recruitment and retention there at the university?
Well, a couple points there, Floyd. We do think we've got a little bit of a bump in enrollment this fall, partly because of these new residence halls. We won't know, of course, for sure until everybody gets here. And then on the retention side, I'm told that we have, usually the students live in the residence halls their first year, and then they'll move off campus. I think we have a larger number of students that want to stay on campus now, mm-hmm. because that's what I'm hearing. A lot of people have, would say, well, because it does cost money to stay in the residence halls. Well, if you just didn't have that requirement, then college would be more affordable. And there's some, we understand that affordability is a really important thing, but being on campus has proven to be a major factor in how being a successful student.
Yep.
And getting that first year to second year retention is so crucial, and this absolutely does help in that area.
Absolutely. I agree 110% on that. You know, I could really see the difference in friends of mine who were living off campus to those who were living in the dorms. Much more focused, much more ingrained in university life, activities, things like that. So I would, that's actually something that I suggested to my daughter. You know, if you're going to look at a university, I would really like it if you stayed in the dorms, because you just get an overall more fulfilling university experience that way. And so it's something that I really try to push for. I do understand, yes, there comes cost with just about everything, but you will be more ingrained within the culture itself. Chad, I'm running out of time with you, but I do want to touch on this, because this is the big news coming out of University of Wyoming right now. President Ed Seidel has announced he's going to step down when his contract expires on June 30th of next year. What do you see as President Seidel's most lasting contribution to the University of Wyoming during his tenure?
You know, Floyd, I think he lifted our vision. It lifted our sights a bit. I think that's maybe the biggest one. The other one I would say, and I've observed this for many, many years before I came here to UW and the last 14 years that I've been here, is his collaborations with the community colleges around the state have reached a level that I think it's unprecedented. I don't think we've ever been closer to them at community colleges than we are now. And President Seidel, of course, the presidents of the community colleges as well, deserve a lot of credit for that. We're really working from the same page now when it comes to transferability of things, when it comes to academic programs. You know, we're collaborating on things. I point out there's a software development program now at Sheridan College that feeds into the university that has been just been created, and President Seidel had a big hand in making that happen. So I think maybe that might be, just speaking personally, that might be his biggest achievement. Of course, we have other things. We've launched a school of computing. We've talked before, we're now a Carnegie R1 research university. Mm-hmm. There's not a higher level in the country, and that happened under his watch. We have a whole initiative focused on freedom of expression and civil discourse, and you know, that's distinguishing us around the country. We have a Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation that helps students become entrepreneurs. We have a new Outdoor Recreation, Tourism, and Hospitality Institute that's funded by now the Kemmerer family. Big gift that came in to do that. So a whole bunch of things have happened these last 5 years, and he's going to lead us here for yet another year before he ends his tenure as president. And you know, our board of trustees, in making this announcement earlier this week, expressing deep appreciation for what he's done, and those are the things that kind of come to mind, Floyd.
A lasting legacy, I would say, for sure. A lot of kids going into programs that weren't there before he arrived. Chad, I've run out of time with you, my friend. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us. I always look forward to our conversations and what's happening down there at the university.
Thank you, Floyd. Good to talk to you.
All right, folks. When we return, we're going to speak with our Sheridan County Library System. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to CHAPS Equine Assisted Therapy.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Mark your calendars, Sheridan. Something lucky is landing soon. Lucky 7's Gaming Parlor, the first one in the state. On Coffeen Avenue, we're bringing you the latest gaming experience. From high-stakes games to nail-biting horse racing action. And when you're ready for a break, step into our new full-service bar for a cold drink and happy-go-lucky vibes. You've got the charm, and we've got your Lucky 7's. Check us out at Lucky7sWY.com. Must be 21 or older to play. Please game responsibly.
Doug, my summer checklist is growing faster than my yard.
Let me guess. Oil change, new tires, maybe a good detail for your vehicle. Waring Chevrolet is full service dealership. We can handle it all, Bob.
Tires first. Mine look like marshmallows.
Well, we got a price match guarantee on top brand tires.
For that oil change and tune-up,
our experts will have it running smooth.
And that dent, let's just say I'm at a picnic table.
Our collision center will fix it up, and our detailing shop will make it shine like new.
Waring Chevrolet, it's the only stop you need this summer. 107 East Alger online, waringsheridan.com.
It's the final week of Moss Holder's Living Room Upholstery Sale. Save on all sofas, sectionals, accent chairs, and recliners. All special orders are on sale too, so you can customize your favorite sofa or recliner in the fabric or leather of your choice. Moss Holder's carries a wide variety of manufacturers, so we can accommodate almost any style and nearly any budget. Whether you're redoing an entire family room or just adding an accent chair, Moss Holder's can help. That's Moss Holder's Living Room Upholstery Sale, going on now. Moss Holder's, furniture is our passion.
Would you like to hear people more clearly in noise? Hi, this is JT Kraft with EBA Hearing and Sound. Today's smart hearing aid technology can improve your ability to understand speech in noisy environments better than ever. These prescriptive medical devices have a 40-hour rechargeable battery life, they're waterproof, Bluetooth compatible, and more. Why struggle to hear? Get a hearing test and try a free hearing aid demo today. EBA Hearing and Sound, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our sick apart this morning, I am joined by Sheridan County Community Sheridan County Library System Community Engagement Manager, Cassie Stone. And showing up a little bit later will be our Youth Services Manager, Zola Shockley. Good morning. Welcome back, Cassie. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, if I'd stop stumbling over words.
Yeah, I'm having that problem as well. It's either too much coffee or not enough.
There you go.
I can never decide.
There's a fine line we got to walk, and I always end up going over. Now, for those who may not know, we're going to start off, and I'm sure Zola's going to have a lot to contribute when it comes to this, but can you tell me about the summer reading program? Oh, here she is.
Speak up.
Miss Shockley, it's good to see you this morning. We were just getting ready to talk about the youth summer reading program. Something that is an overwhelming success last year. Are you guys seeing the same participation this year, Cassie?
Better. Much, much better.
Amazing.
Zola has been doing such an amazing job. I have numbers. We have numbers for you, Floyd.
I love that.
It's great. Zola, do you want to do the honors?
I don't have all of the numbers. I think Cassie's our numbers girl. But yeah, it's been outstanding. More than I could have predicted.
Really?
And I was predicting quite a few. So, yeah. And in previous summers, it's kind of taken a downtick as it goes on, you know, as people are traveling. I'm still seeing the same strong numbers as when we started. And we're still having new people coming, you know, and picking up reading logs. We're on week 6 now. So,
yeah.
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 I think
numbers, Cassie. Numbers.
I got numbers. I think the last time I checked, it was an increase of 200 reading logs given out over last year. And the increase in circulation, so number of materials that have been checked out in just June of this year compared to last year, was an increase of about 4,500.
That's
so
amazing.
It is, I mean,
and that's,
truly.
We're competing against this time last year, which was a big time. You know, it's not like, it's the summer. So, yeah, obviously we're going to circulate
more. It was your banner year last year.
Yeah, but still, the circulation of physical materials was absolutely outstanding to me to find that, 4,000 over 4,000. So
I was shouting it from the rooftops last year that you guys had a banner year. I'm going to have to come up with a brand new word.
I know. Yeah. I mean, and it just, it's so great because that means kids are reading that much more, which is very, it's just heartwarming. That's,
I have a lot of parents who are like, my kid's very passionate about getting their 20 minutes in for the reading program, which is really, really great. So,
in the age of video games, virtual reality, touchpads, you're exceeding numbers that you even underestimated yourself. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's super cool.
So how are you getting this done?
People want to read. Like, people want things to do, I think. Like, it is truly community support. I mean, last night we had a program where we had people craft for the library. Well, we can talk about that more. But, like, just the community members who came who were so excited about doing something for the library. It was adults. You know, and they were adults that have kids that I know personally, and it was a chance for them to kind of get out of the house. And I really think that it's just people love their libraries and they want to support it. But also, it's important stuff. Like, it's people have somewhere to go every single day of the summer to have an activity to do, like with snacks and stories. And I think that we are increasingly in a time that you don't have that free programs.
The free part.
The free, and I mean, important as well, you know, like, it is working on literacy and family bonding as well with every craft program. Like, it's really great to see a blueprint for how to interact with your kids. You know, I think sometimes that's a little bit intimidating. So having a craft program where you're working on something together really helps. And also reading, you know, that's an easy thing that you can do with your kid, even if they're just a newborn baby. Like, I remember talking to my sister. She was like, I didn't really know how to, like, interact with my baby. So I just sat and read him books when he was a baby, and our mom made fun of her for it. But, like, that kid's a reader now. So I think that having those things is really important for development of families.
And Cassie, last time you were on, you and I talked about how Wyoming loves its libraries.
Yes.
And, I mean, you're really seeing that up there.
Yeah. I mean, it's this year and this summer in particular have just been very tangible evidence of what is kind of normally just a statistic. Like, you'd see, Wyoming uses their libraries at the highest percentage per capita in the country. And it's just like, oh, that's cool. And then you start to see it in the stats and see the growth. And you're like, oh, Wyoming really loves their libraries. So it's been very encouraging, and kind of the joint programs that Zola and I have been doing on Saturdays have been going well, where we have a kids craft and then an adult craft on the other side of the room. And that's been very enjoyable.
You're smiling. There's a lot of laughs in there, isn't there?
There is. And there's just a lot of joy in the room because the adults are on one side and they're crafting, and you can hear the kids kind of talking. It honestly, it reminds me of getting together with family for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And you'll have all the grown-ups kind of sitting around chatting, and then the kids running around in the background. It very much has those
kind of
vibes.
With the weird Aunt Zola.
Yep. But I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, to go to a library and feel like you're visiting family. What a statement.
That is one of the most amazing things about my job, is the sense of community every time I walk in that building. Like, I came in a little bit late and I was running in to do story time, and the door opened and there was a little girl who was like, "Mah!" and just ran and hugged me. And I was like, how else? Like, I get greeted at work, like, by having toddlers just be like, "Miss Ella!"
Like, how can you not love that?
It's pretty amazing. And, like, getting to see how other patrons care for each other as well, even if they don't know each other. Like, everybody's just so supportive in that place. It's really unique and amazing to be surrounded by that daily in, you know, not everywhere is like that.
Yeah.
And not all of the grown-ups that come to the grown-up side of our joint programming have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still in the space enjoying the company of kids and families that are there.
Yeah. And so you kind of get this reunification. You got individuals like myself, you know, empty nest. My daughter's up and gone. But even visiting family, hearing the kids kind of scream and laugh off in the background, it touches your heart.
Yep.
I mean, you'd have to be made of stone if that didn't affect you. And there's also other programs that, Cassie, you sent me and I wanted to discuss. And that's the Claire Yorks series. How does this reading and discussion series really reflect Sheridan County's longstanding love of reading and community discussion?
Yeah, well, you know, it was started by somebody who, Claire Yorks, she was from Sheridan and moved over to Portland and worked in the aircraft industry and went to college over there. And then she came back and through her love of reading and love of community engagement, she helped establish her and her family helped establish this endowment. And it has been going for years now, where it is an opportunity for community members to get together and go through a series of books. So it's at three of the branches, and there's two themes, and the theme depends on which branch you're going to. And it's a deep dive on kind of one theme over the course of four books. And there's very experienced moderators that are there that can kind of help guide community members. And when you have a kind of focus on one theme that you're talking about, it can help community members bond over kind of a shared theme.
Mm-hmm. If we reach back, and maybe a lot of people don't have such fond memories of like their English classes in college and high school.
Oh, I do.
I did. And especially I took a class in American literature, and sitting in class having open discussions regarding a book that we had just read, I loved that.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite parts of high school. And then in college, not the same, but visual arts, having kind of the same discussion about mm-hmm. visual arts. And they're such great moderators. Katie Curtis and Arlene Healy are such great moderators, and they have such a loyal following. And they are so thoughtful when they're picking out their themes and they're picking out the books that they want to read and discuss with folks. I think that the themes that they have going on this fall, they do a really good job of talking about personal stories within themes that sometimes the personal stories get overshadowed by the larger historical stories.
Mm.
So Norlene's theme is memoirs over time. So she's doing a series of four books, and it's memoirs over the course of a century in American memoirs. And so it's really looking at what are the themes that are the same in these memoirs? Like, can we find things that are going on in these folks' lives that have not changed over the course of a century, even
yeah.
though it's four very disparate people? Or
How
can we find things that are the same? And then Katie is doing, let me get the title here.
I find that so interesting, because then you could kind of identify various high marks and low marks within a century that affected everybody.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's part of being human. Maybe it's part of being a man, a woman, growing up in America. Maybe it's part of our culture that somehow affects all of us over the course of 100 years.
And that's why books are so important, I feel like. Because this person's lived a completely different life than you, but you're still able to find common ground throughout that,
yeah.
which is really amazing especially when you maybe we live in a place that we don't see a variety of life necessarily in Wyoming. So it really is a great way to like travel and see different perspectives.
Opens
that you
up
wouldn't
doors.
See. Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing how much you have in common with people that you might not have thought you have a lot in common with.
Or didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
You know? suddenly you identify with this, let's say like an African tribes member who's never seen anything, you know, modern. But they suffer the same trials that you do as a father, as a mother, as a hunter.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's these amazing tales that look at these things and unify all of us.
Yep. There was one book, I read a book about a small peasant village in France, and that was the word at the time. But I remember reading this, and it was kind of an agricultural village, although the agriculture looks different. And it was stories, like family stories and stories throughout the town that were being retold. And the whole time I was looking at it, because I grew up in an ag town in Montana, I'm like, this all sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
Like, it could be my family. Like, a lot of the stories that they told and the way that they told stories surrounding their animals. I was shocked by how much there was in common.
And character. You know, when you're reading through a book, even if it's a character that you don't like, what hits you is, oh, I've seen that behavior before.
Yes.
I know exactly the type of person.
I know this guy.
I know this guy. I've met them 1,000 times and I don't even know their name. And those are the characters that do end up sticking with you, though.
Yeah.
And I am running out of time, but how would I join that?
Yeah, reach out to the library. You can give us a ring. You can find our phone number on our website or Google it, or you can email programming@SheridanYOLibrary.org, and I will get you set up on the email list so that you have all of that information.
And that's fantastic. Folks, you can join this amazing series and be able to partake in these discussions, read fantastic books dealing with various themes. Maybe even learn something. You never know what's going to happen. Okay, one thing that I do want to touch on with you before I let you go. The family-friendly events like the Chaps Tournament of Knights.
Yes.
She came in here and she, Kristen Marcus, the executive director, told me that the library was going to be involved with this. And all I thought was, Zola's going to be dressed up as a wizard or something out there reading books to kids. Tell me what's
Obviously.
Going on.
I'm so excited about this. This is our first year doing this event. So we're going to have a booth there. What we've been doing, we have our craft today from 2 to 3. We're making wands. And so last night we made flower crowns with adults at the Tasting Library, and that was delightful. And today we're making wands with school-aged kids and young adults, honestly, anyone who wants to make wands. And so we will actually be selling those items at the fair.
Oh, fun.
So we're crafting for our library. And then on Friday, it's an all-day drop-in. We're making necklaces. So every kid can take home a wand that they've made. Like, it's not a sweat shop. But we found crafts that whenever we do them, everybody's like, oh, this is just a really fun craft to do. We just want to keep on making more and more and more.
Yeah.
So we're turning that into profit for the library.
Call it a fundraiser.
Yeah. but also, we're going to have a really fun program that we're working with the Wyoming Room from the library. We're going to have a heraldry craft. So kids can come and design their own coat of arms, and they'll be able to draw that and stencil that on and have a little shield for that. And we will also be selling books there. So we're going to have a lot going on there. So please stop by. It's such a fun event. I went for the first time last year and I was like, the library needs to be part of this, obviously.
What a better place,
like,
right?
Yeah, why are we not doing this? So
when you think about the library, you cannot help but think about dragons, wizards, sorcerers, princesses, knights.
Exactly.
You know, heroines, individuals who are saving the day, going up against endless odds. It's fantasy. It's high fantasy. And, it's low fantasy.
And also being there last year, it was a really nice sense of community of everybody who is there. Everybody's dressed up. It was really fabulous, and it felt like the community that we have at the library. So I'm like, I'm going to horn in on this. I'm getting in there. So please come and see us. We are going to have our little booth. We'll have water, crafts to buy.
Crafts to make.
When are you guys going to start the wands on Friday?
Today. We're doing today. the wands today. And that's at two to three. And then Friday, we are doing like little trinket fairy necklaces. And that's just going to be a drop-in program that will be all day. So just come. We'll have all the supplies out. You can make one for yourself, or you can make 40. Go for it.
That's fantastic. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure talking to you. I am overwhelmed at the success of the summer reading program. I thought last year we were going to walk around with that sign up forever, and you guys are like, no, we left that in the past. We decided to go higher. That's amazing.
It's in our rear view. Whatever. Last year was fine.
I'm going to have to come up with new ways to describe it. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Another great summer event is coming up soon, the Sheridan County Fair.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth who worked so hard all year long to be able to show at the County Fair. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, true community banking, member FDIC.
The Wyoming State Fair Foundation invites you to a fun-filled, dancing-in-the-dirt good time with Mickey and the Motor Cars and special guests Tris Munsick and the Innocents. In concert, Friday, August 15th at 7 p.m. in Douglas, Wyoming. Tickets and details at wystatefair.com. Thank you to Navajo Transitional Energy and Converse County Tourism for your sponsorship.
Have you tried Designing Dinner's Sagewood North Cafe's Russian Egg and Olive Salad Sandwich? Egg and green olive salad served on homemade walnut bread with cream cheese, iceberg lettuce, and a drizzle of Thousand Island dressing, served open-faced and delicious. They have vegetarian and gluten-free options too. Order half a sandwich with homemade soup, or enjoy an entree salad. See menus at designing-dinners.com. Open weekdays for lunch from 11 till 3 and dinner pickup from 9 till 5 at 615 Broadway in Sheridan. Call ahead for pickup.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Red Grade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides. Perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Shout out to all tennis players. The Bill Brooks Doubles Tournament will be August 8th through 10th at the new Sheridan High School tennis courts. The categories will be women's, mixed, and men's doubles. Grab a partner and sign up. Contact Bob Farreau at 307-751-5819 or FarreauB@hotmail.com. See you on the courts.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE.
KROE, Sheridan.
Coast to coast, weeknights at 11 on News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM.